Hello. Testing 1 3, test 1 3, test 1 3. Thank you for your kind introduction. Hey, I'll talk to SDN.
does work. So, good morning, dear committee and all other audience. Welcome to the doctoral trial lecture by the doctoral candidate Goitom Kasey Welde Wariat. This is the first part of the public defense. The estimated time is 45 minutes. The public dissertation defense will then take place in this room, K105, at 12:15. My name is Socrates Katsikas. I'm a professor at NTNU's Department of Information Security and Communications Technology, and I am the internal opponent in the assessment committee of the submitted thesis, and I will conduct this public trial lecture. Before the public dissertation defense can take place, the evaluation committee will take the decision regarding the approval of the trial lecture. Trial lecture must be approved prior to the defense of the dissertation, and the result will be announced at 12:30 today, and the defense will start immediately after the announcement. You are all most welcome to participate in the defense of the thesis. I will also present to you now the members of the evaluation committee. So the first external opponent is researcher Dr. Gilles Stredon from LAS, Laboratory for Analysis and Architecture of Systems in Toulouse, France. Gilles obtained a PhD degree in computer science from the University of Rennes in 2009. From January 2010 to September 11, he worked as a postdoc in Berlin in the FGENET group, and since 2011, he works as a full-time CNRS researcher in the TSF group in Toulouse. The second external opponent is Associate Professor Rebecca Montanari, Department of Informatics, University of Bologna in Italy. Rebecca research interests focus mainly on policy-based networking and systems and service management, security management in both traditional and mobile and Internet of Things systems. In particular, she has a strong know-how and experience in middleware for self-managing and self-adapting distributed services based on semantically enhanced metadata. She has co-authored more than 50 papers published in journals and in other venues, and she has established several collaborations with state-of-the-art research centers around the world, like the Nokia Research Center in Cambridge, MIT, Imperial College London, Institute for Human and Machine Cognition in Pensacola, California, USA, and so on. Finally, the internal opponent and administrator of the committee, I already said, it's myself, Socrates Katsikas, Department of Information Security and Communication Technology of NTNU. The title of the lecture, as you can already see, is Software-Defined Networking and Complex Networks. So, go ahead on. The podium is yours.
Hello, everyone. So I will talk about software-defined networking and complex network as part of the trial lecture. Just to brief the content, first I will introduce software-defined networking, describe its architecture, and explain the challenges, SDN challenges. Then move on to complex networks, talk about the basics and metrics, then network model and its robustness. Finally, I will conclude my talk. SDN basics. Software-defined networking is an emerging paradigm in computer networks that facilitates change and innovation in infrastructure and network applications by pushing the network control functionality to logically centralized controller. Key ideas of SDN network: separation of the network control and data control, data plane, global view of the network by logical centralization in control plane. Application can be implemented on top of the control plane, and dynamic programming in forwarding packets. So just brief history of SDN. In different universities, there a research has started in 2004, like Princeton, Stanford. Actually, it was started by one PhD candidate. His name was Martin. And finally, in 2008, software-defined networking idea started in OpenFlow project. Then 2011, standardization Open Networking Foundation. For the last 5 years after this Open Networking Foundation, there was events organized by Open Networking Summits. So the motivation of SDN: poor utilization of physical resources, especially like vendor specific resources, fragmentation of equipment resources, and choice in scaling or limited. Traffic monitoring is an afterthought, or was. For the current networking, the traffic monitoring is afterthought. Uniform monitoring not possible across all equipment, poor flow of granularity. Monitoring can severely degrade performance, and the current network or the traditional network needs special monitoring equipment. Moving to the creation of high-level network policies. Using this SDN, we can have high-level policies uniformly across routers, switches, and other devices. The classical networking versus SDN. In the classical networking, the control and data plane, in the first picture, devices, the control and data plane is assumed, and like forwarding is done by the devices. But when we move to the SDN architecture, here is the control, but these are just simple forwarding devices, they forward packets. So this is the separation of the data and control plane for the SDN. With more details, these forwarding devices, for example, if the controller wants to communicate to these devices, it uses the Open Southbound API, and if a packet arrives at one of the forwarding devices, it checks whether to apply any forwarding rules in the devices. If not, it contacts the SDN controller whether to forward it or to drop it. And of course, there are other applications after the SDN controller, like for routing, this thing is like for routing security application load balancing. So just to describe it in detail, when a process nodes flow automatically, I mean, this is a flow based, and if this forward device knows the packet is processed, it processes directly. If new flow arrives, ask the controller what to do. Controller installs new flow status in which router or in the switch or router flow tables. Then based on the flow state of consists like match, action, or pair with open flow. So what's open flow? Open flow is a communication interface between the controller and data plane of the SDN architecture. It allows direct access and manipulation of forwarding planes, such as switches and routers, both physically and virtually. Open flow is just one of the possible data plane forwarding abstractions. There are others like POF, P4. So the basic architecture of open flow. When it's similar like as described before, when packet arrives at the switch, match the header field with flow interest in a flow table. If any entry matches, perform indication acting and update. If it doesn't match, switch asks controller by sending message with packet header. So this is like the computers communicate with the open flow switch, and the open flow flow switch to the controller, there is SSL or like secure communication. To add details about the flows. So the flow table entry looks like this. Match, there is match action. When a flow arrives, it matches or decides, takes action based on forwarding packet to switch ports or encapsulate forward to controller, drop the packet, send to normal processing time. So what the impact of SDN on the current networking, big change to the management and configuration protocol because it's centralized, it's easier to manage and configure. Application behavior and host do not change. With the SDN use similar protocols. Routing protocol run in the controller. And as a production, Google deployed open flow based network to control their internal data center. It's just an example of the network topology they are using. So, what are the SDN issues or challenges? Scaling proportions uncertain. Like flow entry could get very large because the flow entry contains details of the whether the packet the flow should be forward dropped and it can get very large. It's possible to use multiple controllers, but there is this challenge of synchronization and communication between controllers, latency between controller and switches. The latency, the communication, when the communication between the data planes and the controller. Finally, security challenge. The centralized SDN control leads to concern about SDN security, reliability, and resiliency. So, what are the security challenges? SDN application and control have control. Complete control of the network. Controller or applications are built on general purpose computers and we know they are vulnerable systems. So if a controller or application is compromised, the whole network can be compromised. And more, the robustness of SDN has impact on the network functionality. Because if there is not a failure, it needs to reestablish communication by using additional unaffected paths in the tree or in the network. So there is a strong correlation between robustness and network topology where structure affects functionality. So it needs statistical method or tools to quantify the large network because it's a very large network and it's not easy to analyze manually or as small networks. So complex network can be used to characterize the SDN network and analyze its robustness. Moving to the complex network. Complex network is a network with non-trivial topology feature, heavy tail in degree distribution, highly clustering coefficient, and community structure. Features that do not occur in simple networks, like lattice or random graphs. Many systems in nature can be described by models of complex networks. So networks are everywhere, like the internet is a network of router or domains, the worldwide a network of websites, brain network of neurons, social network network of people. Just to represent, to abstract as a network, for example, if we take for the internet, routers like switches can be nodes. The link, the communication between them can be a link or edge. This is one example where the lines represent the communication of between two different IP addresses. And this is biological network, protein-to-protein interaction of yeast. So representing networks. Networks are represented as a collection of nodes or vertex and edges. A graph G is a two-tuple where V is a set of vertex, E is a set of edges, and an edge set to connect two vertex, Vj, Vk, denoted by Vj, Vk. If the vertex pair are ordered, the network is directed, and if it's not ordered, it's undirected. Just to represent this graphically, this is undirected graph, so if we have a path from A to E, it's possible to have E to A, it's bidirectional. But for the undirected, if we have a path, I mean, we have A to E, but not E to A. So node degree represents the connection to a given node or the neighbors for a given node. For example, for node A, we have two connections and its degree is 2. Adjacency matrix. A graph can be represented in the form of adjacency matrix, which is represented as values in matrix. For example, if we take for this graph and for vertex 1, we have two edges, self loop, and V1, V1, 2, V1, V2, V1, V2, 1, V1, V3, 1. So this values represent whether an edge is available between two nodes or not. Edge density, the density of a network is a fraction of edges out of possible edge. For example, if we have m edges for a given node, the density is m over the total possible number of edges. So moving to the network matrix. The following three network metrics help us to understand the structure of a given network: average path length, degree distribution, clustering coefficient. The path length is between two nodes, A and B, is smallest number of edges connecting them. For example, if we take this one, from A to B, the path length is 3, just counting the line, the bold line. And the average path length is the average pairing network of all the network pairs, like summation of the path lengths over all pairs of possible path lengths. The network diameter is the maximum path length between two nodes. So the property, one is less than the average path length, less than the diameter, less than n minus 1. Degree distribution. The degree of a node is number of connections, as I mentioned earlier, and the average degree of the network is the degree of the node over the number of nodes. The degree distribution function is histogram or probability of nodes. It shows their spread around the average value. This graph shows the represents the degree distribution around this average value. Clustering coefficient, it represents the neighborhood of nodes from node A, and it is given by the number of edges for node A times number of nodes minus 1 over 2. And for the whole network, it's the clustering coefficient of node A over the whole network, I mean number of nodes. Network models. Moving to the network models, I will talk about random networks, small world networks, scale-free networks. Random networks. In random network, each pair of nodes is connected with probability P. They have equal probability. So, for example, for the graph, this, for P0, there is no any connection. The nodes are isolated. P0.1, there are couple of connections. As P increases, the density of or the connection of the graph increases. And the it has low average path length. It's ln of n over the ln of the average path length. And low clustering coefficient around, P or the probability of their connection, because each node has equal probability. And the property of random networks, the probability of n node to have degree k is n minus 1 combinatorial k, probability of having a link p the power of k, and not probability of not having the link 1 minus 1 p the power of n minus 1 minus k. Expected degree of n node is n minus 1 times p, which is approximately np. For large n, it's approximated as Poisson distribution. And the diameter of the random graph and the average length have been demonstrated to be ln n over ln pn, or ln r over the average degree. So relationship of the average path length or degree and connectivity. For average k, average degree np, if the average degree is less than 1, the network is disconnected. If the average degree is greater than 1, again, component appears, a component with more connections. And if the average degree is equal to L over L, the graph is connected. So small world networks. A network with small world effect is a network that has low average path lengths. 6-degree separation, like every person can know each other like after 6 degree or 6 persons. And this what's the strongest model is hybrid model between regular lights and random networks. Scale-free networks. In a scale-free network, the degree distribution is power law network. That means there are few nodes with many connections and many nodes with few connections. If we see this graph, there are few nodes with many connections like this. And this one, but there are many nodes with few connections. And this graph shows very few with many number of connections, but many nodes with few connections. So, moving to the robustness of network. The robustness is the ability of complex systems to maintain their function even with the structure of the system changed significantly. For example, if a fraction of nodes or edges are removed, how large are connected components, or what is the average distance between two nodes in a component? To compare the impact of random and targeted attacks on power law networks, just will describe their comparison next. random versus targeted. This Barbas et al. Studied the robustness of random and scale-free networks. They considered two networks, one exponential, one scale-free, with the same number of nodes and links. Then they showed the changes in the graph diameter as function of removed vertex from the exponential and scale-free networks. So random node removal. When we consider the random node removal, the blue indicates failure and the red indicates attack. So, yeah, and this represents E exponential scale free. The triangular represents failure for the exponential and the square failure for scale free. If we see the these squares for the scale free, it's not increasing. It's not changed due to the random failures. But for the exponential, there is a change. If we see here the blue triangles, moving to the targeted node removal, it's the same for the exponential or random, more or less similar, but there is change for the scale free. Why? Because the targeted, it targets the nodes with many connections. Another case, real example, like the failure for the worldwide and internet. So this represents the under attack, I mean targeted node removal, and this repeats for the failure. So this is for the internet, and this is for the worldwide web. So these two real examples are an example of scale-free networks, which demonstrate that robust against random failure, but susceptible to targeted attacks. Yeah, to summarize, just for the scale-free node, to compare the scale-free and random graph, scale-free graphs are resilient to random attacks, but sensitive to targeted attacks. For random networks, there is smaller difference between the two. And this confirms the daily observation, like the internet functions smoothly despite the failure and misconfigurations. The internet is not strictly scale-free random graph, because there are some engineering designs or network designs and redundancy to influence the connectivity. We should also consider the robustness assumptions. In this case, they considered if some attack happens, it affects the network. But there are other things like routing and redundancy. So to sum up my talk, software-defined networking decouples control and data plane, allows dynamic programming forwarding things, allows global view network by local centralized in control plane, and complex networks tools can be used to characterize properties of large networks. This matrix or tools can be used to evaluate the robustness of the internet infrastructure or SDS network, and neither small world or scale-free represent the real networks. However, both systems represent some interesting properties. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for an interesting lecture, Gautam.
Thank you.
Are there any questions first from the committee members? Rebecca, Gilles? Yes. Well, yeah, okay.
Okay. So you have done an overview of the SDN networks, and you have talked about which tools, models, and metrics in complex network. Can you, you have somehow described, but here you can better discuss about which network models, for example, are, in your opinion, best suited to be applied in SDN networks? And depending on the network model, how can you react to attacks, and how can you isolate attacks, which is the best approach?
That's an interesting question. And SDN, it's used on for the computer networks. And those networks are very large networks. So, and most nodes will have many connections, but some, for example, like routers, some routers will have many connections. So I think it will be represented, or it will be represented using scale-free graphs. So to characterize its robustness to attack and failure, it will be robust for random attacks, but susceptible to targeted attacks.
Okay, and can you, because when you discussed the network models of coming from the complex network research field, random network with a K major than one, you said the giant component appears.
Yes.
And scale-free networks, small hubs with many connections and many with few connections. So, can in SDN networks, can you find that also K can be major than one, and then you can apply both network modeling?
Yes.
Could it be the case?
Yeah, as you mentioned, the random network can have more connected network or component as gained component. The problem when we consider to the robustness to attack or failure, doesn't matter whether the network is connected or not, the connection, most of the nodes will have similar to the average degree, their connection. So, it's not realistic to consider this for SDN, because every node doesn't have the same or the average degree connection. Why the scale-free? Because some nodes will have, even for the SDN, for example, the central, if you consider one, the controller can control many forwarding devices. If we consider these forwarding devices as nodes, they will not have many connections. So to represent the SDN network, scale-free is better due to the connection, number of connections. And it doesn't represent exactly, but the better model comparing the random to the scale-free. Mm.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start. So maybe I can jump back on your question. You say SDN are used as a way to somehow set up routers on the internet. But for me, a router has 24, 48 ports, but not much more. So it doesn't look like scale pretty much. Does it?
It's logical. This SDN takes the control, like the decision, like packet routing, the logical decision is. So it can have many connections. It's not the physical. I think because we will have one node that controls this forwarding, the routing and stuff. We will have few nodes, for example, controllers to control a given network. Mm-hmm. Just I'm considering the nodes, the controller, and the forwarding devices. So just representing as a node, similar property, because the forwarding nodes can be switches, routers, and there is one SDN controller using general purpose computers. It can be computer or
I'm not sure I got it. So if you want to represent a graph, use a graph to represent your SDN network.
Yes.
What are your vertices and what are your edges?
Yes, that's good. The vertex will be the forwarding nodes, mm-hmm. and the device which runs the SDN. The edges will be the communication, the link.
Okay.
The link. So, for example, one forwarding device, when packet arrives, it forwards to its neighbors, to neighbor nodes or forwarding devices, or can communicate to the controller. But the controller communicates with every device, so it will have more connection.
Okay, so there is one central controller?
There can be a few controllers, like for example, for medium-sized network, maybe 5-6 controllers or 3. But the forwarding device will be many,
okay.
like computers, routers, switches.
And you say there are so in SDNs they decouple the data plane and the control plane.
Yes.
So the edges here they represent what the data flow or the control flow.
The control flow, because from the SDN it comes control, control. The data forwarding is on the forwarding devices. Yeah. This will forward devices, I mean forward packets or flows, but the control flow or instruction will come from this SDN controller.
And where does it come from? Like how does the info, like Google has one centralized controller you had on your slide, and but they have many worldwide packets.
Yes, yes.
So how does the two communicate together?
The communication can be initiated both ways, from the controller, for example, to deploy some policies, change of, it could be security policy. So using this.
Yeah, no, I mean the order, let's route this packet in this direction now.
Yes.
Or something like this that the controller could say. How does the Palo Alto central controller of Google tells the exchange point of Google in China to do this?
Yes.
How does this packet travels?
As I said, the packet travels. For example, if a new packet arrives at this device, this forwarding devices, it checks its flow table. If it matches to its existing flow table, if not, it contacts the controller. What to do for the packet? Whether to forward to another forwarding device, or drop it, or modify and send it.
So it will contract. So when the controller sends a control packet to China, like the intermediary routers that will route the packet towards this will check with the controller where to send it.
If they have existing
okay.
instruction in their flow table, they will decide based on the existing information. If they need more information or to do other actions, they should contact the controller. Because the controller sends modified information, whether to drop the or for what other device.
Okay, maybe differently. You said that you gave two examples of complex networks. Among the one you gave, there was one that was the internet.
Yes.
And the other one was the World Wide Web.
Yes.
What's the difference for you?
What do you mean, what's the difference? In their topology or?
Well, for many people, I believe the internet is the World Wide Web, but
okay,
you made the difference.
Okay. I mean, when I introduced the talk on complex networks, the World Wide Web, there are nodes like the web pages, and there are link like to access is a edge or path. But for internet, the router switches are nodes. And the pack communication, like sending packets, is as edge. It's a matter of representation. In the World Wide Web, we are considering the nodes as web pages, But for the internet, the device like router switches.
But why does everyone is taking the two as the same thing? If there is no internet, is there a World Wide Web?
No, this is just for the representation, to abstract the communication and study their characteristics. How robust are they to random or targeted attacks? Mm-hmm. This complex in a network is not interested on the details, how just to represent it, focus on the topology.
But I'm interested in the details. What is the World Wide Web? Okay, if there is no World Wide Web, can there be an internet?
Of course.
Okay, and if there is no internet, can there be a World Wide Web?
It depends. For local, for example, if you have local network, it can. Just isolated network, you can access web.
Okay, or maybe emails, for example, or things.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, if it's like private network, there can be communication. Like, I can communicate locally with a given network, just sending messages, even using some ports. But the internet helps us to communicate with different parts of the world or the bigger networks.
Okay. Well, no, what I meant is maybe one depends on the other. No?
Of course, the world depends on the internet.
Okay. And you said 6 degrees of separation. Tell me. 6 degrees of separation on the some slide?
Yes.
Can you explain?
Yes,
this?
6 degrees of separation. For example, if I want to send a letter to someone, just I give you the letter, send to some people you know, and it will arrive after 6 people. Just you send some people you know, the other senders. That's the 6 degree separation. Just a small world, that's why the name it comes.
Always six? Always six?
It might vary, but on average we can say.
And who found that?
That's a good question. I forgot his name.
Stanley Milgram.
Yes, thank you.
And I was in the US.
Yes.
And okay. And do you think this can, on which kind of network can we have 6 degrees of separation?
The study was just the traditional letter, but even it's more or less for social networks. For example, for Facebook, Twitter, it's less than 6.
Okay, but it kind of relates the maximal distance or the average path length, maybe, of the 6 degrees of separation. It's if I have to send a message, then it the 6 hop in the network.
For social, for this that study was conducted just for the traditional letter, like envelope with letter, with all this communication. But I think it's more or less than 6 for if you use social network or Twitter, Facebook, for because a friend of yours. Maybe I might have someone I know from your friends of friends. So it's less for the internet, for the social media.
It's less?
Yeah, less than 6 degrees separation.
For any social media, it's always less than 6?
No, on average. It's not for every, but on average. If you do a research, like for Facebook or Twitter, it will be less. Less than 6 separation.
And why is it?
Why the less than 6?
Yeah. Why do you say this? Is it something that comes from the structure or what?
Yeah, the connectivity, because more people are connected to the internet. Of course, it's better on the structure. Generally, it's the connection represents the structure of the network. Yes.
Okay. And can you give me an example of scale-free in the
real-world example?
Mm-hmm.
Just the internet and the internet. We can take the internet.
The intent, okay. And is there some clustering in the scale-free model?
Clustering. Then, of course, the structure represents heterogeneous nodes. It depends on the, on the connection. No clustering, but we have many nodes, and we try to study the connection, the communication, or the connection. And few nodes will have many connections. So clustering. I'm not sure how it can relate.
Okay. So, but on the internet. So in the scale-free model,
yes,
there is no clustering. Oh, there is really a low clustering. In a purely random graph, will you find clustering?
Okay, clustering, yes. Yes, there is clustering, of course, clustering, yes.
In a scale-free?
Yes. Mm. The clustering, when I say clustering, the cluster, like some, there is a node and there are neighbor nodes. That's why we use this clustering coefficient to determine how many friends or friends of friends they know each other. But the clustering, that's like the organization of clustering, no.
Yeah, the average degree of the your neighbors that are neighbors together.
Yes.
Okay, this will be high in a scale-free network?
Yes. This high clustering is property of the small world.
Yeah. Okay. So there will not be any.
There is, but it's not high. In every structure there is clustering, but what differs is whether it's high or low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my question. So it will be high or low?
It will be low.
Okay, and but in a small world it will be high. That's what you say.
Yes, because it's close because of the 6 degree separation. Your neighbors will know or will be friends of each other.
Yeah, the friends of my friends are my friends. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And on the internet, is there a clustering?
If we consider we are considering the nodes, the routers, and the switches. Yes, there will be clustering, but it will be low. When we say, when we take for the scale-free case, it's not like friends of friends, but some nodes. Will neighbors of a node will have more connection with other, or will have connection with other nodes. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Gil. We are already a few minutes after 11 o'clock, but if there is one question from the audience, we could probably take it. Okay, yes. Since no one from the audience wants the last question, then you can have it, Rebecca. Okay.
Can we go back to the SDN architecture and abstractions? The other one? Okay, perfect. So if we look at these pictures, can we just recall what you have said? Can we adopt clustering for SDN controllers? Because I'm recalling what Gilles have talked about. So is it possible to adopt a clustering approach to SDN controllers? And the other question is, what about the choice of the forwarding devices? Has it? Can it? Is it a static choice, a predefined choice, or can forwarding devices be dynamically selected, depending also on their on the observation of their behavior? Are two questions.
Just to answer your first question, this represents how the SDN works, the communication. It's not like the whole network.
Mm-hmm.
Just the flow of information, its architecture, how it works. But if we want like to study whether it's clustering or average path lengths, the topology should be different. So, but I think it's possible to study clustering, average path lengths, degree, even for SDN network. The proportions apply to any network. And moving to your second question, those devices, they represent different devices, like router, switch, different. They are not like one type of devices.
Yes, but there is, from your analysis of the field and your study of the field, is it a predefined and statically defined choice of forwarding devices or dynamic choice?
It can be both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, Goitom, thanks once again. This concludes the procedure for the trial lecture then, and we will be back at 12:30 for the defense. Thank you again.
Sorry? 12:15,
thank you, Ingrid. It's good to have you in the room. Thank you.
Goitom, thank you.
Thank you.